This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you once again for the blessedness of being your people, for gathering us together under your arms, for having set out this platform to bless us. And you've been a blessing to us for many days, you know, and we've been blessed, no doubt about it. You have reached us through many of your servants. You have reached us through song. You have reached us through prayer. You have reached us through, you know, book review. You have reached us through, you know, teaching us how to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the whole song way to, you know, to end the year, that you have come to us once again and preparing us for another year. Father, we are grateful. You know, this morning, once again, we ask that you bless us, that you reach us once again unto us and you cause us to inch closer to you once again. You know, that you cause me, Father, you know, to find help under your, you know, your breath and under the breath of your servant in this house in the name of Jesus. That will find grace, will find mileage, you know, and you will reach out into our hearts once again. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you because you are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. So the truth basically is that he said the law and the prophets prophesied unto John. And prophecy is good. Everybody likes a prophet. Because prophets solve your problem. One of the things that prophets do is that they solve your problem. And everybody has one problem or the other. So everybody wants to see a prophet. Even when asses are lost, they send it to the prophet to find. And somebody couldn't find his animal. He said, well, go see the seer. You know, go and find the seer. The seer will know where the what the ass is. But don't go see the seer and come back the same. Make sure you go see the seer and come back a king. A man went to see a seer. He didn't come back the same. He went to see a seer. He didn't come back the same. He came back a changed man. He came back with a what? A new spirit. So we all love prophets. We want to see prophets that what? Provide our car, give us a house, make sure money is in our pocket, tell us the kind of businesses we should do. You know, tell us, don't go there. We go there, man. The king of Assyrian king is going to feel like they're going to catch you. Follow this other way. You know, prophet did a lot of wonders in the Old Testament. From healing water that was bad, from what? Death in the pot. You know, babies are dead. Barrenness that what? They were given children. You know, a lot were done. They crossed the sea. They divided the Red Sea. Manna were falling in the wilderness. A lot happened. So to be a seer is wonderful. And to see a seer is also lovely. But the scripture said that from the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And he also said that the law and the prophet prophesied unto John. So the law and the prophet were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And every man pressed into it. You know, so there is a time frame for the law and the prophet. And there was a time frame for you to look for a seer to solve your problem. So the law and the prophet, you know, God is not saying the law is not good. Neither are you saying the prophets are not good. Because the law and the prophet actually point to more than the prophet. But he also said that, look, oh, the law and the prophet are good. But the law and the prophet are only pointing you to one thing, kingdom. And this kingdom they are pointing you to, just are on earth, man doesn't wake up one day and say, this is a kingdom. There's nobody that wake up on earth and say, this morning I found a kingdom. All of you come and submit to me. All of you bring your resources. I'm going to be taxing you 10% of whatever you earn. And everybody say, hallelujah, amen. It doesn't happen. So God is teaching us a technology by which kingdom are given. A technology by which you enter a kingdom. And in the natural, it has been. But it is more real in the spiritual. Just like there's nothing you have conquered in this earth that you didn't put some level of energy. You didn't put some level of effort. You didn't put some level of consciousness. You didn't put some level of intentionality. Your prayer life must be structured. You must be intentional. You can't get results without it. If church is not structured, you won't come to church. If there's no 7:30 or 8 a.m. for church meeting, we will not meet. If your employer did not say you must resume by 8 a.m., his business will not progress. So the children of this world are intentional. They even have budget for the year. As we are speaking, some people already have what? For 2026, they map out how it's going to look like. And they will benchmark every department to align with it. That's intentionality. That's structure. Then you get result. And the kingdom of heaven is not any lesser in you actually attaining what God has for you. Matthew 11. But what went ye thought to see? A prophet? He said, yeah. I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, that hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John was a beautiful prophet. Actually, when you look at John, we've been taught John didn't work miracle. But John declared kingdom. John said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when something is at hand, what does it mean? You can reach to it. It's close to you. It is here now. John could capture that dispensation that other prophets could not capture. Other prophets could foretell that dispensation to come. But John in his own day said that what? That kingdom is here. He said that kingdom is here. And many came to John, you know, in the wilderness. He said the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, the publicans, the military guys, the soldiers, all came to John in the wilderness. And when was he preaching? John was heralding a message that basically was new to everybody. John was heralding a message that was new. It was John that said, look, oh guy, if somebody asks you to go a mile, go with him too. The thing Jesus were teaching, John began to bring a what? A shadow of it to the Israelites. He said the tax collector, don't collect more than what you have desired to collect. He said to the soldier, don't use force on people. Be content with your wage. You know, John began to give us a likely inclination what the kingdom looks like. So we can say that they blessed John with something. They blessed John with sight. Because John said himself, he said, he that sent me, this is the commandment he gave me, of whom I see the what? The dove descend upon. He said, that is he that baptized with the Holy Ghost. So John also came looking for the more than the prophet. It's not that he knew him. It's not that they've shown him who he is. John didn't know his picture. He didn't know his similitude. But he has a what? A commandment to identify him. And he kept looking out for it. So that we said that John was intentional. So we can say that John actually was baptizing at the River Jordan as an intentional structure to identify Jesus. In other words, baptism was not for everybody. John was looking for who? The more than a prophet. So John 1:3 said, and I knew him not. He said, he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon who thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptized what? Holy Ghost. So that means that John was in expectation. John was like Noah building a ark. You don't know how it's going to end, but you know the intent of God. So when John saw Jesus and saw that activity happen, he knew basically like what? This is he that I am sent to come and be baptizing for. So John came to Jordan and brought the ministry of baptism. Sorry, the ministry of baptism was actually not for everybody. It was a system built in place for John to identify what? He that is more than a prophet. But within that economy, you can come and be baptized. Because John knew basically that baptism will not change them. Baptism will not change anybody. So we see John basically, and when John identified Jesus, he must have been happy, glad, rejoiced. He declared him. He showed him forth. Everybody was happy. Then came a day. John is in prison. Jesus is in what? A free man. Miracles were happening. Signs were being done. The blind were seeing, the lame were walking, the deaf, you know, were hearing, the dead are being raised. And then John had to send his disciple to the man that he identified to get the weight of the matter. John, who declared to everybody, this is he. Then the same John is sending back to Jesus, say, are you the one we're expecting? Something is wrong somewhere. Your own ministry was to identify him. And you did accurately. You did precisely. Truly, you're a prophet. You show him forth. Matthew 11:2. He said, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? So John actually had in mind that I missed it. And I have the power to look for another. Jesus answered and said unto them, say, go and shew John again those things which ye do hear and see. Now this is John that identified Jesus. And this is John that said, should we look for another? That contradiction. He's a man that's a different interjection of spiritual journey. Because the way of the man that is more than a prophet is different from the way of normal prophets. John expected that I'm in prison. Boy, come on, come here and get me out. But Jesus said, no, you ain't coming anywhere. You stay there. At that situation in your life that God said, you stay there. He said, you stay there. You are beseeching God for his son. God will tell you that you stay there. Do you like it? You don't like it. That's the way of the prophets that you want to relate to it. So we see basically that John was offended. Why? Because what caused your offense is expectation. Is your wrong definition of how things should be. Actually, is your own personalized definition of how things should turn out to be. Every time you're offended, is that what you want things to be is not looking like that. And because it's not looking like that, you don't want to agree with what it is now. And you don't want to agree with it. So we see John who declare to tell you that working with more than a prophet is not an easy task. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. But he comes with enablement to ensure that you can walk in his demand. So John was offended. Jesus fulfilled the way it is written in the book. It's not that Jesus ignored him. It's not that Jesus didn't have compassion on him. But the way it is written in the book is that John should what? Be in prison. Why? They want to deal with offense. Now, the man that said that, of all men born of women, there has not arisen one like John the Baptist. When he that is more than a prophet appeared, you see how treatment for him. So you see John in prison, and Jesus knows that what? He needs to be there. He may not have been beheaded, but he needs that experience. Because one of the greatest things that, you know, the Son of God has come to do for you is to separate you from offense. He said it is needful for offense to come. Issue of offense, you can't say, it won't happen to me. You cannot say, I have a choice not to be there. God will put you in that crucible. Matthew 18:7. He said, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must need be that offenses come. And but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. And also woe to that man by whom who is offended. Because offense is a gateway to glory. Offense is a gateway to being a prophet. So John the Baptist, you know, went through this route. And he began to say that, can we look for another? You know? So all the prophets prophesy unto John. And you must take the kingdom by violence. So let's apply that to John. Now, here is John in prison. Here is Jesus, a free man, you know, wrought miracles, you know. And they said the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. And they also said that the kingdom basically sovereign violence. And the violence taken by force. So what should John have done? John is in prison. What should John have done? Because we find ourselves in the scenario of John over and over. And you must know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, you'll be offended in your pastor. You'll be offended in your brother. You'll be offended in the community. And what offense will do to you, basically, is you used to sit in front before. You come to middle row. Before you know, you're in the back row. When you have finished the back row, where will you land? You'll be at the gate. You know, and at the gate, they will still offend you. Because God has said to change you. Even said, at the main gate of the street, they will still offend you. Because the issue is not you. The issue is that they want to help you. But you will choose where to be helped. So the kingdom of God sovereigns violence, and the violence must take it by force. So the kingdom will not drop on your lap. And this prophet that we are talking about, we also not drop it on your lap. Because there are certain laws and rules that governs it. And they don't bend it for anybody. So the saying came to John that Jesus is working miracles. And another version actually accounted that when they brought that scenario to Jesus, Jesus did many miracles at that time. Actually, Jesus healed so many people. He now told them, what can you see? Go and tell John. You understand? What is happening? But have you asked yourself, why did Jesus have to demonstrate with miracle for John? John didn't wrought miracles. John sounds as if he's higher than miracles. John didn't wrought any miracle. But Jesus used miracles to talk to John. You know, because John was more or less descending to the realm of miracles. What he didn't have at the beginning is what he's resorting to. And that's what happened to us when we don't want to press into the kingdom by force. The way out is called miracle. That way will not affect your soul. That way will not change you. That way will not alter your person. That way will not make you a prophet. But that way can give you some level of comfort. Imagine Jesus goes to Herod. I will bring us John. And John walk on the street of Galilee. Is he altered? Is he changed? Offense is inside of him. Yes, he could say that, oh, I've made up with my brother, Jesus. And I'm not angry with him. But does that mean that offense has left him? He's still carrying it. Another day they'll come and put pressure on it. It will pop up. So we see John, who basically was not miracle focused, miracle intended, in the day of his ministry, resorting to miracle to bring him out of the predicament. That's what we do. So we see John was offended. And what offended John basically was because he began to lose his gaze. So we must learn to take the kingdom by force. The law and the prophet prophesied unto John, you know, and you must know that you are in the marketplace. And you must hear that prophet in the marketplace. He said, they are like children who sat in the markets. And they were calling one to another. Calling one to another and saying, we are piped unto you. And ye have not danced. We have mourned to you. You have not wept. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, they will pipe to you and they will mourn to you. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what do we have there? We see Jesus, who was transfigured between James, Peter, and John. And we see his countenance altered. We see Elijah and Elisha appear to him. And they were conversing with him about the death that he must suffer. And behold, appeared unto them, Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. You know, then a voice came from heaven and spoke to them on Mount of Transfiguration. You must hear voice. John was expected to hear voice in the prison. And the voice that will come to John is not to look for Jesus to deliver him. Because a prophet like unto me shall the Lord thy God send unto you from the midst of thy brethren. He said, him shall you hear. And when you hear that prophet has a work that he must do in you. And if you don't agree with it, you can't make progress. You must hear the voice of this prophet that is greater than all prophets. Give me Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1. When that prophet speaks, he speaks in two ways. That prophet is a lion, and that prophet is a lamb. In Revelation 10, he said, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet pillar of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as what? When a lion what? Roareth. And when he cried, he said, seven thunder what? Utter their voices." So that prophet, when it comes to you, it comes to you as a what? As a lion and as a lamb. When it comes to you as a lion, it's not as a lion towards you. Because what God wants to empower you with this prophet that you must come to is that when he's roaring, you must roar. He said, when a lion roar in the wilderness, in the forest, all the beasts hear it. And they respond in a certain way. So you find out what? This prophet, when it comes to you, it comes to you as a lamb. What is a lamb fat? He instructs you. But in that instruction, you know, there are lion parts. And that lion part is sufficient enough against all beasts of your field. Because a lion must roar. And you must learn that roaring. All prophets are lions. They thunder, they roar. They don't turn from anything. He said a lion does not turn from anything, right? That's what they want to make you. So these prophets, you understand that God, you know, is showing us, is the one that you must hear his voice when he's roaring. And you must roar along with him. So when that prophet roars, you must roar. And what is he roaring against? He's roaring against ways in you. But when you choose not to roar, you can't have victory. Hello? He's a lion. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He has even overcome. But when he roar, and you cannot roar, you will remain in your estate. You know, when he's roaring, and what you are seeing is a miracle, you will remain in your estate. So what was expected of John was for him to roar in what? In prison. And what is he roaring against? You will roaring against offense. You will tell yourself, this year offense can't take me. You know, the works can't take me. Darkness can't take me. Because you must be the son and daughter of the one that is more than a prophet. And that one who is more than a prophet, he has everything under his feet. And that's why in that book of Revelation, they show him with a little book. His feet on what? On the sea. His second feet is on the what? On the water. And what? He roars. And when he roars, that's victory. So, he that is more than a prophet, the only thing he has promised you is victory. But you can only take it if you, as a person, agree to roar with him. You must roar. Your voice must be heard. Your thundering must be loud. In the place of prayer, you must engage. You must not be a coward. You must not be couched in. You must not say that, look, this thing has held me 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. Your voice must be heard. Because he's saying, and when he's saying comes to you, you must walk with his saying. His saying will come at high frequency. And when it comes to you, you must roar with it. So if you don't know how to roar this year, you'll be a captive. But when he's roaring and you're roaring, victory is yours. Can we talk to the Lord?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.